Hello and welcome to the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Allison Succomelli. Each week, I'll be taking the science of positive psychology, adding a little humor, and through evidence-based research, providing you with tools and strategies to help you live a life of peace and purpose. In this episode, we'll be talking about the end of the school year grief for teachers, students, and parents, and the letdown effect. But first, if you're interested, social media links, my website, and other information can be found at thelemontreecoaching.com. You can click the link in the podcast bio. And if you'd like some daily inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at thelemontreecoaching. I post quotes and make book recommendations from time to time. Currently in my reading stack this week, I have Frida Kahlo, Self-Portrait with Cropped Hair, and Kuan Yin Buddhism, the Kuan Yin Parables, Visitations, and Teachings. And teachers, you may also want to check out The Lemon Tree by AKS on TPT, formerly known as Teachers Pay Teachers. I'm constantly adding resources and lessons each week, several of which I mention on the podcast. For instance, as we move into the summer, I updated my morning routine template with an inspirational quote section. Anyone can use the free resources, so again, check it out on TPT. My shop name is The Lemon Tree by AKS. And if you see one of my favorite quotes, "Let nothing dim the light that shines from within" by Maya Angelou, you are in the right spot. You can also find a link in the podcast bio. Okay, let's get into this week's episode. Welcome back to the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. The end of the school year is near, and despite what role you may be in, be it a teacher, a student, a parent, or any other role that deals with a typical school day, while there may be excitement as the end draws near, there is also an aspect of the end that we often don't talk about, and that is the sense of loss. We all wish for the end of the school year, especially teachers and students alike. And I'll be honest, I have an app on my phone called School Count, which does a countdown of the school days to the day, hour, minutes, and seconds I have left. At any given moment, I can tell you to the second how much time I have left until the end of graduation at 8 p.m. Currently, I have 28 days, 1 hour, 30 minutes, and 54 seconds until my 2023-2024 school year ends. Probably a lot less depending on when you listen to this episode. Now, this may sound awful, but unless you have been in the teaching trenches, you may not understand just how draining a day of teaching can be. If teaching was all we had to do in a given day, that would be great, but there are so many other things that infiltrate our days that come out of left field and throw a wrench into our teaching bliss day after day. Weekends certainly aren't long enough to recover, nor can we just quote-unquote just not think about it. But despite all of that, over the years, there is a cumulative sense of loss that teachers experience, especially when you have that one special class or group of students. Often we don't even realize how special a year or a group of kids are until after they are gone. And I remember my first year of teaching, standing in my empty classroom in Santa Ana, California. All the kids are out for the summer, and everything just seemed to come to this screeching, silent halt, and all of a sudden, the thing that I had hoped for the most, a break for the summer, hit me in the face with this resounding sense of loss. My little middle school family, as I knew it, would never be again. Those kids were just gone in the blink of an eye. And we spend a whole year caring for and motivating these students just to say goodbye at the end of the year. Of course, there are years when the group is beyond terrible, disrespectful, or whatever the case may be, and this sense of loss doesn't occur as much, but there are also other aspects of the goodbye and loss teachers feel at the end of the school year. It could come with colleagues retiring or moving on, administrators moving to different school sites, and so on. We're just expected to have no feelings towards this sudden cutoff. Some teachers may feel like they haven't had enough time with particular students in order to help set them up for a successful life after school or whatever stage of life they are moving on to. Really, once the students are gone, there's not a lot that remains for teachers to show for their efforts and hard work. It's just the end. But we also know that you have to embrace change to grow. Change is inevitable throughout life. Throughout the school year, there are also sudden goodbyes that blindside us. A student changes schools, the family moves away, the student who is doing well in your class moves to the continuation school due to their overall grades and lack of credits. Students are in car accidents and end up in comas or even dying. That is a really harsh one if you are a teacher, having to go to a student's funeral. The last one I went to was really difficult. I had also had some of the older siblings in my class, and their younger brother died from some unique brain disease all of a sudden. There was a huge outpouring of students, teachers, and family members at his funeral, and at the end, they made you proceed past the open casket, and a lot of people couldn't look, but for some reason, I had to look at my student one last time, and I really wished I hadn't. It did not look like my student anymore, and grown men, my colleagues, other teachers, were hysterically sobbing during the funeral and procession past the open casket. I will never forget it. This is a complicated subject because as educators, we are supposed to connect with our students in order to effectively teach them throughout the year, so we can't remain detached and not care. But then is it this caring that turns around and bites us at the end of the school year? Not always, but a lot of the time. If we look at things from the student's perspective, while they may front and act as if they are overjoyed for the summer, which in a lot of ways they are, they too may be experiencing loss in the form of the dismantling of their family-like groups for the summer or even forever as they graduate, go off to college, and out into the world in whatever capacity. Through the years, I've even noted that the seniors tend to regress and they begin to reminisce and cling to things from their childhood because everything is about to change and a lot of things will come to an end as soon as the caps fly at graduation. It's really bittersweet and filled with a lot of uncertainty that students are often pushed to have answers to in regards to what's next for them, which can be really overwhelming. The same is true for parents at the end of the school year. And regardless of what role we find ourselves in, we really all may be experiencing a form of grieving, even though most people won't recognize this truth. But according to psychologists, this is a natural reaction to being a senior teacher, a graduating student, or the parent of a graduate. This is a major milestone we are experiencing with a student or as a student. And it's okay to be feeling this way. The student does not have to have all the answers to what happens after graduation right this second. One step at a time without getting too far ahead can really minimize anxiety, especially if the fundamental question of, are you going to college, joining the workforce, the military, or another option? Having this plan in place prior to graduation is a good first step, but years and years of deciding on this step is not good. We need to make an actionable plan so there is a sustainable future. If post-graduation sadness persists, whether you are a teacher, student, or parent, it may be time to seek the help of a licensed mental health professional. Again, it's normal to feel sad as a parent or even profound loss, but if it persists well beyond graduation, help may be needed to help move on from this sadness. And in psychology, we call events like graduation an attachment-activating event that can trigger strong emotional reactions. This occurs due to a perceived threat to the parent-child attachment that was formed long ago, which in turn may trigger grief. And part of coping with this perceived threat is understanding that it is normal and okay to have these feelings, experience these emotions, and realize it's all temporary. And again, if you find that these intense sad emotions stick around well after graduation, it may be a good idea to speak with a mental health professional to help you move through these feelings. And I want to point out that it won't help to drink away these feelings, stuff them down, or try to ignore them. They will resurface if you do not handle them now. And if you're not into speaking with a licensed mental health professional, you can even speak with other parents, graduates, or teachers who are experiencing the same feelings. They can be excellent free resources as well, as long as it doesn't turn into a misery loves company sort of scenario and you remain stuck rather than experiencing and moving through the feelings. It is important to note that everyone has different attachment styles and different connections to things coming to an end. So don't feel like the oddball if your feelings differ from your peers. You can still share as long as you understand that this difference is also normal. And something else that is connected with the end of the school year is the letdown effect, which is a real psychological, physical phenomenon experienced by a lot of people. Essentially, the letdown effect is a condition that leads to illness or symptoms following stressful events such as a conflict, high-pressure, time-constrained work projects, or school exams. And do not exclude positive events from this list either. This could include sporting events, weddings, graduations, and teachers wrapping up the end of the school year. And research shows that the letdown effect is often associated with respiratory infections, the flu, migraine headaches, arthritis pain, and depression. Here, it is also important to note that people respond differently and do not always show post-stress symptoms. But when it comes to people who are subjected to chronic stress, like teachers and surgeons, to name a few, some of them are going to show either physical or psychological effects, or both, even after the stress is no longer occurring. This is because our bodies often hold up quite well until we can finally slow down and relax a bit, but we are most susceptible to the letdown effect after a stressful or even exciting event has passed. And Anita Wang, MD, adds, "The letdown effect is the equivalent of going from 100 miles per hour to a dead stop in a car. It's not good for your car, and it's not good for your body." That really puts things into perspective. Dr. Wang goes on to add, "Most people would assume that our bodies get sick while we are in the midst of a stressful event. This is true in some cases, but oftentimes our body is able to protect itself during peak stress, then becomes susceptible to attacks when the worst is over. While we are under stress, our bodies produce a number of chemicals, particularly stress hormones, that protect our immune system against illness. However, once the stressful period is over, our immune system eases on its heightened state and viral bacterial invaders are often likely to take hold. As a result, people often come down with a cold sore outbreak, or a flare-up of autoimmune issues." So how do we avoid the letdown effect? The research states that it is important to gradually lower the stress, which helps our bodies transition to a new balance. A way to avoid the letdown effect is to make sure you are getting enough sleep. If our immune system is efficiently restored through restful sleep, it will be well balanced and capable of fighting off viruses, and we don't get sick. A great book to take a look at if you want to learn more about sleep is Why We Sleep: Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams by Matthew Walker, PhD. Dr. Walker is a professor of neuroscience and psychology at UC Berkeley, the director of the Center for Human Sleep Science, and a former professor of psychiatry at Harvard University. And if you don't have time to read a 300-page book or it's not just your jam, you can also check out his TED Talk, Sleep is Your Superpower, as well as some other shorter TED videos from the series called Sleeping with Science. And if you are interested in some short lessons related to some of these videos, you can check out my TPT shop called The Lemon Tree by AKS. You can find a link in the episode bio. Another way to avoid the letdown effect is to avoid alcohol and caffeine. The research states that alcohol may feel like it relaxes you, but it actually disrupts sleep and worsens other sleep disorders such as sleep apnea, and it also reduces our REM sleep. An excessive alcohol consumption can be dehydrating and usually contains high amounts of sugar, which is naturally inflammatory to the body. And aside from sleep, when it comes to weight loss and addiction, research has shown that there is definitive proof that sugar is addictive. And a great read on sugar and dieting is Why Diets Fail Because You're Addicted to Sugar, Science Explains How to End Cravings, Lose Weight, and Get Healthy by Nicole M. Avena, PhD, and John R. Talbot. And another way to avoid the letdown effect is to keep nasal passages moist. Doctors recommend using a saline spray and spritzing throughout the day to ensure your nasal passages can block germs from entering the body, and saline is naturally disinfecting. Also, drink more water and be sure that any beverage intake is low in sugar or sugar-free. You can also use a humidifier in your bedroom, especially during the winter months. Another way to avoid the letdown effect is to manage your stress. There are a bunch of ways to do this, and not every way will work for everyone. So sooner rather than later, figure out healthy and adaptive ways to manage your stress. Some simple things you can do are exercising daily, which has been shown to help with sleep, as long as it's not within a few hours before bedtime, as it may make it harder to sleep. Get some natural sunlight. Sunlight is one of the main controlling factors for circadian rhythm. Getting a little bit of sunlight, especially in the morning, can help keep your circadian rhythm healthy. And it's important to develop a good wind-down routine about an hour before bed. Be sure to put the phone and computer away, and I know I have issues with this as well, but try to do something calming such as a mindfulness activity like journaling to help you process your thoughts and emotions. Meditate, even if just for a few minutes. You can always build your way up or do some light reading to help your body shift into that appropriate mindset for sleep. So again, to avoid the letdown effect and stay healthy and happy, get enough sleep, avoid alcohol and caffeine, keep nasal passages moist, 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 and manage your stress. And of course, you're not going to be able to do all of these things at once, so figure out what works for you as needed. And if you want to take a deeper dive into the letdown effect, listen to the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast, episode number 23. I go much deeper into the research than I did in this episode. And also keep in mind some sadness and some grief after graduation, regardless of you being a teacher, a student, or a parent of a graduate. Be mindful that it is normal unless it persists well beyond graduation. At that time, it might be wise to seek some professional mental health help. But also, don't forget to celebrate, feel your feelings, and move through it. Okay, so there you have it. In this episode, I talked about end of the school year grief for teachers, students, and parents, and the letdown effect. Recommended readings and references related to this episode include Holiday Health, Stress, and the Letdown Effect by Anita Wang, the book Why We Sleep, Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams by Matthew Walker, PhD, and Why Diets Fail Because You're Addicted to Sugar, Science Explains How to End Cravings, Lose Weight, and Get Healthy by Nicole M. Avena, PhD, and John R. Talbot. Also, I'm recommending the app called The School Count. It'll take you down to the second or whatever date you set it to. And if you'd like some daily inspiration, you can also follow me on Instagram at The Lemon Tree Coaching. I post inspirational quotes that I've encountered along the way and simply want to share them with you. And if you like my show, please share with a friend or follow and subscribe wherever you are listening so you don't miss an episode. And teachers, you may also want to check out The Lemon Tree by AKS on TPT, formerly known as Teachers Pay Teachers. I'm constantly adding resources and lessons each week, several of which I mention on the podcast. For instance, the stop method and rain printouts are now available as free downloads, as well as the introductory assignment on human strengths. So again, check it out on TPT. My shop name is The Lemon Tree by AKS. You can also find the link in the episode bio or at thelemontreecoaching.com. And once again, this is Dr. Allison Succomelli saying it's been a pleasure sharing this space with you. And until next time, have fun, be safe.